So we'll pray for Ruth and all those that are ministering in Albania. And we didn't pray for Fatima and her sister returning, so we'll pray for them and the message this morning. Father, we do ask, Lord, that you would bless Fatima and Susan as they travel back. Lord, give them divine appointments the last couple of days there in Africa, then as they travel home, and re-entry, Lord, into what you have for them here. Father, and bless Ruth, Pastor Dennis, Jane, and all those laboring with them in Albania, Father. Thank you for your servants that have left home and family, Lord, to serve you where you've called them to serve, Father. And help us to remember them in our prayers, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, bless your word to us again this morning as well. Amen. As I was looking at the poster from our theme last weekend, I was thinking, I wonder if we should have them take that down or not. And I'm glad they didn't, because this morning is going to be a continuation on that theme, and the title of this morning's message is Wake Up and Shine Brightly. Because I think the alert, we need to stay in the heightened alert until Jesus does just take us home. I don't know if that will be today or this year or when, but we know we're to expect it every day. We've brought that up very often recently, and I think we'll probably continue to bring it up to keep us on heightened alert. You know, Pastor Love, I think, mentioned the emergency broadcast system. Maybe you're listening to the radio and you hear the It's like most disturbing. And then they say it's just a test. And you know, all right, it's not really an emergency. They just want to make sure that people are listening to the radio and are aware when they hear that obnoxious noise that they better pay attention. But when it's actually not just a test, they just keep playing that. And then the bulletins and just more emergency and bulletins. I think we need to just leave the heightened alert on until we see Jesus. He brought up the fact that many have recognized that the Church of Christ has been asleep really for decades. Those that first began to sound the alarm and say the church was asleep, that was several decades ago. And maybe some are beginning to wake up, but as I observe those that are just starting to wake up, it's almost like they're in that stupor when you wake up in the middle of the night and you come right from deep sleep to awake and you're disoriented. Many are behaving like that. They don't know what's going on. Maybe they don't have sound eschatology. They don't know how to put the current events in the big picture of what's going on and what God has said in the book, because they really don't know the book. But we want to be wide awake, sounding the alarm and helping those that are wandering around in a stupor to fully wake up, and those that are not saved yet to consider, to listen to the gospel. And for us, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read verses 8 to 14. Some of the things we'll read, I won't need to comment on much. Just the reading of the word will be sufficient in some of these passages. But in Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So that's true for everyone that's born again. We are translated into the kingdom of the dear Son, but are we walking? Is the daily manner of our life displaying the glory of God, the light of the gospel? Verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And we have no fellowship," so now he goes into instruction for us as children of light, and both in verse 10 and 11. "First of all, for us to every day to really be finding out what is the will of God for me today." And it's easy to discern what is the will of God for us as his church, as the bride of Christ. That's laid out. But then for each one of us in the details of our life, that's for us to find and adventure by faith in doing it. There's certain people, certain names, certain faces that are assigned for us each day to find out what the will of God is and do it every day. In verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Things that perhaps we used to be involved in, no use for it anymore, not involved at all. those that would try to get us involved, let them know, not interested. Nope, maybe I was, but not any longer. Rather, expose them. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He brings a prophecy from Isaiah 26, verse 19, into the New Testament, verse 14. And so for us to be issuing this wake-up call for those that are asleep, those that are thinking, you know, that there's no need to do business with God, those that are not saved, that still want to ignore the gospel, perhaps get a little bit more wise in our delivery, maybe even a little more edgy in our final comment, to wake them up so they can arise from the dead and really receive the gospel light. Because time is short. We don't know if we'll have another opportunity. So when we give the gospel to somebody, especially if it's a stranger, we may never see them again. We may be their last stop before heaven or hell. And to punctuate it with that, to let them know that this offer is only good as long as they're breathing. We need to stay sharp and with the laser focus in these last days. And as we look, you know, what is the next thing that's going to occupy the headlines? Pandemic is, oh, that's over. Now it's Ukraine. And that's real. More real than the pandemic was real. I don't want to say it wasn't, but they hyped it to make more people afraid. And some are still living in that fear. And many have woken up saying, well, all right, that's over. But and maybe even resolved, I won't be fooled again. I'm not going to be controlled by fear. I think probably most of us, when we first heard that news, like we were like, wow, what is this? And I was like, on the first day back on the European travel ban, I'm getting on a plane, I'm coming back to the U.S., and I have to quarantine for 14 days? Yeah. Well, we all, and then we woke up. But what's the next? Are you bracing for China going after Taiwan? And those are on the geopolitical scene, but that's, you know, for us to be aware of what's going on. And I'm not a news junkie. I like to be informed. I don't want to be in the dark on what's going on. And I know that just watching the lamestream media is only going to give me half the story or less. Yes. So I will listen. I have to do it with headphones because my wife can't tolerate it at all. But then the rest of the story to really, but I'm not a news junkie. I don't need to know every little detail because I need to be occupied. I can't lose my focus in what is God willing for me to do today. And it's not to watch news 24/7. No, enough so I'm not in the dark, but I really want to stay focused on what does God have. I don't want to miss out what God's will for my life is today just because I want to know everything that's going on out there in the world. Stay laser focused on the plan of God for our life because people's eternal destinies depend on our faith obedience to God in this matter. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll begin at verse 51. And we find here, and the next passage we'll look at as well, both of these are linked to the rapture, an event that could happen today, very likely could happen, could be this year. We don't know. No one knows. And for those that get fixated on a particular likely date, I take that in stride. I don't get focused on any of that because we're to live like it could be today. But in the context of the catching up of the church to be with the Lord, this message of staying awake and staying sharp is tied to the event of the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 51, we read, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Someone suggested that's a bulletin that should be posted on the nursery wall just above the changing table. Did we ever do that? I haven't checked the nursery. We haven't done that. So if you want to post, you know, get that, frame it nicely, we'll post that over the changing table. It's appropriate for the nursery. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the rapture. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. At this point, Paul was considering himself as a candidate for the rapture. Later on, he realized, no, he was going to be executed. But when he wrote this letter, he thought it could be in his lifetime. We shall all be changed. We are now, we're the candidates, and we might just cash in on this one, maybe. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. I was thinking of that this week. Just as you look in the mirror and you assess the damage that age is doing, just remember, it's only temporary. Yes, it's going to get worse, maybe, but there's going to be a divine reversal on that too. We're going to get glorified bodies, and they won't look like, well, some of you that may be in your 20s or 30s, all right, maybe you're looking at something what you may look like, but then there's, and you teenagers that are, you know, wanting to get buff, and you're like wondering, like, I'm eating my Wheaties and whatever. It's just not, but don't worry. If you get raptured as a teen or a preteen, you're not stuck there for, you know, all eternity. You'll get a glorified body better than what you have now. And then for all the rest of us too. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. For all those that are still afraid of dying, and many are, especially unsaved people, and they should be, actually, they shouldn't be so much afraid of dying. They should be afraid of the judgment after the death. And we can help them there. And there are a lot of people that are, you know, pondering that. And I play on that when I'm speaking to somebody that's, you know, advanced in age. But they just, if they're so occupied with what's going on in this life that they're forgetting that it's going to be over soon, I remind them. In a gentle way, a loving way, with a smile, and not shy, you're going to die soon, nothing like that. But in a very, try to be creative. And I've been successful with it. Commander Cody didn't want the track, but I said, everyone needs a minister sooner or later. He said, yeah, you're right, I'll take that. And we just prayed for it. We actually were praying here in this church the day that he died. Just last fall, I think it was. And a week later, someone notified me of that. God's plan is so detailed for our lives. Death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. As I was pondering this earlier this week, I realized that Jesus has taken the sting out of death for all of us that know he took our sins. If we know Jesus as our Savior, then we should not be afraid of death. The sting is gone. Death is actually something for us to wonder at, like, will I or will I not? We know we're going to see Jesus one way or the other, whether it's the rapture or physical death. But the sting is gone. If we know our Savior has taken all of our sins, there's no sting in death. You can actually stare it in the face and just say, is it time or not? The sting of death is sin, but Jesus has taken the sting out of it. And the strength of sin is the law. And here it brings out that the law is the strength of sin, all the do's and do nots. But Jesus fulfilled the law. So he's taken the strength out of sin for our lives. We're not bound to it. We may think we are. We're wrong if we think that way, but we're not. We don't have to sin. Never. We never have to sin one more time. And don't be deceived into thinking that we have to give in to its the power of the lust, because we can say no. As the children of God, we can say no. No. Doesn't matter how many times I failed in that area before, I can say no, because I'm a child of God. Jesus has fulfilled the law. He's broken the power of sin, and I can live as a child of God, to the glory of God. The power of sin is not in the law for us anymore, because Jesus fulfilled the law for us. Verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the will of God for every single one of us as his children. For us to live in the victory of faith every single day. That doesn't mean we won't have trials. That doesn't mean we won't have disappointments. But we still, in the midst of whatever life throws at us, still live in the victory of faith, knowing that our Heavenly Father is in control, even though we don't see it maybe in the moment. It may look like everything's out of control in circumstances, but it's not really. Everything is under our Father's control, and his eye is on us. He loves us, and his plan is perfect for our lives. We get into that last Wednesday night. Verse, the last verse. In fact, at my ordination, someone gave me a plaque. I think it's still in my office. I don't know. I never really look at the walls. There, I'm too occupied with what's on the desk. But these are the words that are in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So for this, for us to really grasp this and say, yes, Lord, you've given me your spirit, so I can live in the fullness of verse 58. I can actually abound in your work. I can just live to serve you. I can live to do your will every single day of my life. That's what I'm here for. That's what you gave me my life for. That's what you gave me your spirit for. I'm in. Let's do that. I want to do that. And always abounding in the work of the Lord. And as long as we're led by the Spirit and controlled by the Spirit, we don't burn out. We don't fatigue. So we can get physically tired and then we go to sleep and take a nap and wake up and serve God again. But as far as spiritually, not get worn out. Now, if we try to do the work of the Lord in our own natural strength, we will burn out. You hear about burnout. You hear about it in secular jobs. You hear about it in the ministry. And a lot of pastors burn out. Why is that? Because they're not operating in the strength of the Spirit. They're trying to do the Lord's work in their own strength. That is foolish. That is stupid. It's impossible. But if we do the Lord's work in the power of the Spirit, then we will abound. And we'll live to do the work of God. We'll get addicted to the work of God. If you want to chase your own plan, worst thing that could happen is you succeed. Because then you could be distracted for a long time. Best thing that could happen if you're out to chase your own plan for your life is to fail completely. The sooner the better, because then you realize that was a mistake. What do you have for me, God? But the sooner we get focused on just abounding in the work of the Lord, the better off we are. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're actually revisiting this. This came up last weekend, but can't let it go yet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at the first verse, it says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. I'm going to just stop there and say, I think I'm an optimist. I really look forward to the blessing of God. My hope is in Christ alone. I don't really expect things in this world to get any better at all. In fact, I kind of expect them to get worse, and I'm not a pessimist about that. I'm really hopeful that we will abound in the work of the Lord and see Jesus soon and go home to glory. But am I expecting, I'd love to hear later on today that the war in Ukraine is over. and not anticipate that China's going to invade Taiwan or whatever all else the next geopolitical horror show will be. But I actually expect the world to just get worse and worse until Jesus comes for the bride. In fact, I'm thinking that it may be very close to the time where God actually hands the whole cosmic system over to Satan unrestrained for the tribulation period. We may be right on the threshold of that. And I believe we're called out before God hands the cosmic system over to Satan, that Jesus takes his bride out. I won't repeat that, but I appreciate that. Hey, you know what? If you heard what she said, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm not here to like scare anybody. I'm just saying I don't expect things to get better. Now, here in America, so far, you know, we're still safe and cozy, even if we do have to spend how much for a gallon of gas? Anyways, it doesn't matter what I said because it just changed again. But peace and safety. You know, they were thinking that in the Ukraine a month ago. They're thinking, oh, Russia's not going to invade here. Bombs are falling. Right now it's safe today, so far. Will it change here in America? If it does, when it does, God only knows. But you know, one thing doesn't change. Jesus is our Savior. He's our provider. He's our healer. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So even as he writes this to the Thessalonians, and at that time still believing he was a candidate for the rapture, so whether we wake or sleep, that's King James language for whether we live or die, we're going to be with Jesus. Right here, right now, understand, to live for the Lord. And when it's over, we'll be with Jesus. He's with us now, we'll be with them then. For time's sake, I'm just going to give you the verses and just mention. But in Luke chapter 9, in verses 21 through 26, first Jesus informed his disciples, and they didn't know how to receive it, and it really never registered with them. But he gave them the news that he was going to go to Jerusalem, and he was going to die, and he was going to be raised from the dead. And he told them point blank, this is what's happening in the near future with my life, and I'm going to go to a cross. And then he transitioned from talking about his own cross that they were going to see in real time and watch him die. And then they were going to watch him as he came into the room fully alive 3 days later and then appeared several times to them. But then he transitioned in the next phrase to them taking up their cross. He said, I'm going to my cross, which was a once-for-all cross. 6 hours in human history that changed the destiny, potentially, of the whole human race, and really for everyone who believes. But then he said, you need to take up your own cross. But he put an if in there. If any man will take up his cross and deny himself. Now, what does that mean for us as a group? That means to fulfill the Great Commission, to make disciples. As we corporately take up our crosses daily, individually. So this is the will of God on an individual basis. That's where it gets really precise. That's where we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What do you have for me today? But our part of making disciples, giving the gospel to whosoever will, whoever's ready to listen. And let's not be shy about it. I mean, if you've been shy about it, it's time to say, help me, Lord. Help me not to be shy about giving the gospel. And let's give it everywhere we can. It's the offering message to sow the seed. And you might say, but that's just not me. No, it doesn't have. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the ability to be witnesses. So just ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, fresh and new, every single day. And as we do that, we will find that we will have the desire, and God will give us opportunity. The other thing I do is I ask for the opportunities on a daily basis. I don't just wait for an inner stirring, but I ask for, and then I go looking. Once you ask, then I go looking for them. And anything that looks anywhere remotely like an opportunity, I just grab that handle, see if it opens. Everywhere there's a door, let's knock on it, see if it opens. I don't know as I have time. I wanted to give a quick testimony. I was just with Chris DePisa the other day, and somebody just mentioned the word Plattsburgh, and he knows my testimony well enough that as soon as he heard the word Plattsburgh, he knew where it was going. And sure enough, it was my testimony. And he was just praying and smiling, and the other guy was getting an earful. I hope it stuck. But then in Luke 9 in verses 57 through 62, he brings up that we got to be all in. You know what? I think we'll just read that. We won't have time to comment, but Luke 9, 57 through 62. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And so he let them know, you're signing up. This is what you're talking about. I'm homeless. You ready to be homeless? Come on. That's what he was saying to the guy. You want to follow me everywhere? I don't know where I'm staying tonight. I don't have a place to stay tonight. You want to come? Come on. We're sleeping under the stars tonight. Some of you campers, you like that. You'd be fine with that. As long as it's not winter camping. But some of you might even be winter campers. But I see all these puzzled looks. Some people are nodding their head, yes. Others are no. Hey, but here's the thing. As far, are we going to follow Jesus wherever he leads us? To count the cost and be all in. Verse 59, he said to another, so the first one comes and volunteers. The next one, Jesus just commandeers himself. He says to another, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. So this guy had, he thought, some other priorities, like a reason why he couldn't just follow Jesus right then and there. And Jesus said, forget your priorities. This is what I'm telling you to do. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. So another one's volunteering here, but he's got a stipulation. I just need to go say goodbye. And Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's put our hand to the plow. Some of you have already done that. Just remember, don't look back. There are many that have put their hand to the plow and looked back, but if you look back, then you're, first of all, you're looking in the wrong direction. Secondly, you're likely to stumble. Thirdly, if you look back, you may go back. I don't have time to get into that. But let's put our hand to the plow. If we haven't done it, let's put our hand to the plow and then not look back, because it's not long. We're going to be face to face with Jesus. And we want to keep looking forward in the plan of God for our lives, to fully commit to discipleship, then, and really only once we've committed to discipleship can we really engage in the Great Commission. How are we going to make disciples if we're not disciples ourselves? We need to be disciples ourselves, and to be discipled means that we're receiving instruction from others that are challenging us and blazing the way and giving us a godly example. And then we need to be looking for who else wants to follow Jesus. Who's around? Who do I have access to? Who can I make a disciple? Who's willing? And we'll close. This is the last passage we'll turn to. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 17. We want to wake up and we want to shine brightly. So we're going to just, in the middle of this, Jesus actually mentioned being the salt of the earth, but we don't have time for that this morning. But verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." He's calling us to live our faith and live it out loud, to take the light of the gospel and put it on a lamppost, put it on a lampstand. So anyone who gets near us, they know what our life is all about. It's all about Jesus Christ, serving him, following him. People, they can't get around us for any length of time without realizing that fact. If anyone knows us, I don't know what kind of time limit I want to put on it, half an hour, an hour, more than that, a day or two, and they don't know what we're all about, we've got our lamp under the bed. We've got it stuffed under a bushel somewhere. Somewhere within the first few hours of knowing us, they should know what we're all about. Let's keep our lamp. I like to dial it back. Like, I'll give them maybe 15 minutes max. That's about all. If they're going to interact with me for more than 15 minutes, they're going to know what I'm all about. Let's get our light, the gospel, right out where everyone can see it. If they want to run the other way, that's fine. Just wave goodbye. Pray for them. But if they want to come closer, we need to be wise. I don't have time to get into all of the intricacies of sharing the gospel with people, but to have a mindset to do it, to let people know that there is a Savior that died for them, loves them so much, paid for their sins. This is good news. We have good news. In the midst of all the craziness that's going on in our world, we have good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for finding us, drawing us, saving us, and commissioning us as your children with your blessing and with the power of your Spirit to shine the light in the darkness, to shine it to as many as we possibly can so that those that want to come near can be drawn to Christ. If you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, you can do it now in a simple prayer of faith. In your own heart, in your own mind, please pray with me. Pray, "Dear Jesus, thank you for paying for all of my sins with your blood on your cross. I do receive you as my Savior by faith right now. Please come and live within me through your Holy Spirit. Please give me the gift of everlasting life and make me a child of God. Amen." If you're praying that prayer, if you're here this morning, we'd love to put a New Testament in your hands before you leave us. If you're watching on the internet, we'd be glad to mail you a gift from our church to you. If you don't have a New Testament, we want you to have one. So you'll have to contact us and we'll be glad to mail you one.